You ready, Don?
Ready.
So, welcome to new people to the discussion. You have no idea what I do, right? And I don't really know what the hell it is either, but it's mysterious because it has to do with the human mind and how the mind works. And the thing that I do is called dream work. And the reason I call it dream work is because I use dream images. That means you tell me what goes on in the dream. And I use those images to find a paradoxical thought process that's going on in your mind.
Uh-oh.
And everybody thinks in terms of paradox, everybody. And what that means is that we're sitting here inside of our body and we're connected with our senses of perception and action to the world that we live in. And there's a struggle all of our life to figure out what's really going on in this world. Have you ever asked yourself the question, what's really happening here?
Every day. And every night.
I got the flu last week, so don't make me laugh too hard.
I'll do my best.
I appreciate your sense of humor. You have a great sense of humor. You're not Jewish, are you?
I am.
Yeah, okay, I pick up this special quality of the Jewish sense of humor.
Could it be my accent?
It's more in the natural way that you present yourself.
Okay.
Yeah, you're into irony and ambiguity and so on and so forth. And that's,
you got me pegged, my friend.
Yeah, and that's
I am into irony.
And that's the nature
and that's
of
where I find my humor. And most people object to it. So.
This is where we find reality also. Is in the center of irony. There was an Englishman who wrote a book called Seven Types of Ambiguity back in the 30s, and one of them is irony. And it all boils down to paradox, and we've all got it built in to our mind. And so we're trying to connect with this world through our senses, and through our ability to think about that then. And I want you to know that we have discovered that we don't make our own thoughts. Our thoughts are made for us. We're much more of a passive creature in this, living in this body, than we realize we are. Is it okay to turn the light on,
yeah.
Dominic?
Uh-huh.
No, not that one, this one. Is that okay with you? I don't want that one on.
Okay.
Shining in my eyes. Is that all right, everybody? Okay. So, we have a part of our mind which I call the identity type, and it's connected to the five or more senses of perception and action. And it takes that information and creates thoughts out of it for us, thoughts that are supposedly meaningful to us. But you'll notice, if you pay attention to your mind, that you have many, many more thoughts going through your mind than you're actually interested in. You notice that you see thoughts come and go, and you go, I'm not interested in that one, I'm not interested. And you may be conscious of that, or maybe not, but everybody has that happening to them. And that's evidence that these thoughts are being made by something else other than us. And then what happens is sometime we select a thought out and we insert our identity into that thought. This is a process that I know about and that I can prove actually happens. And by inserting our identity into a thought, what happens is we believe that thought. So what happens then is we have an identity which we had before we were even born into this body. And that identity has a particular shape. But every time we believe a thought, the identity takes on the shape of that thought.
understand you.
Our identity takes on the shape of that thought, so that then we become limited according to the limits of that thought. And in life, we're trying to... We have thoughts because thoughts are trying to get us moving, to move towards something like, oh, isn't that a beautiful flower? Or I like lambs, or I want to build a fence around this place, and I want to have a garden, and so on. All these things that are happening are because thoughts came into our mind and we believed some of them, and we then go about carrying it out. And as we go about carrying it out, we notice that we run into obstacles. And the obstacles that we run into are the limitations in the thought. Because the reality that we're trying to address is bigger than the thought. And so this defines the fundamental problem of living in a human body and trying to live in a great, grand world that's got infinite possibilities, but we're living in a little tiny situation surrounded by our body and so on. But whenever we believe a thought, what happens is we have another part of our mind which is not connected to the five senses, to the senses of perception. This other part of our mind is connected to the universal mind. And it creates paradoxes to the thoughts that we believe. So that whenever you catch yourself believing a thought and getting limited and constrained and running into obstacles that are in your way where you're trying to carry that thought out, you'll have an intuition come to you in the form of a perfect scientific, this is scientific language. The thought that you believe becomes a hypothesis. You call it an opinion. And every opinion is a hypothesis of reality. And this is what I think is going on there. That's what I think this is, and so on and so forth. And what happens then is the other part of the mind creates a higher hypothesis to your hypothesis. And it isn't a higher hypothesis or a paradox doesn't contradict your belief. It gives you another way of thinking about that that is completely incompatible with the way of thinking about it that you're thinking.
A different perspective.
It isn't only a different perspective, it's a paradoxical perspective. So that you can't agree with both perspectives at the same time. You either have to believe one of them or believe the other. So that when you become aware of the higher hypothesis, the intuition coming from the higher mind, what happens is you look at that and see it, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, this is the solution to my problem. And you pull your identity out of belief in the thought that you were believing, and you go into the space between the thoughts. And that's where reality is. Okay, so I'm telling you this because this is fundamentally what we're doing here. Got it? Okay, that's the shortest introduction that I've ever given.
Because we're smart.
Pardon me?
Because we're smart.
And it'll play out in the dreams.
So basically what you're saying about developing this hypothesis is that the hypothesis is not necessarily, and maybe very often, not correct, or not the best thing.
It's
not the real deal. The
Great.
Real deal is beyond that, and if you can reach that, then you will understand the right way to
right.
look at things.
Okay. Very good. Okay, thanks. Thanks.
No,
for
I just
it.
Wanted to try.
I appreciate what you just said, and I like that feedback, because then I know that you're number one, listening, that you're number two, interested in what's going on, number three, that you want to understand, number four, that you do understand it. Four great things, right? We can have a discussion that way. Now we have a communication happening. This is great. Okay. So now what I'll do is I'll just pick this guy or this guy, because they can tell me a dream. And then I'll take them through the process so that you can see, rather than pouring you into the chute here all of a sudden. you can watch, and I'll explain to you what's going on with him and what's happening and what's about to happen. And when you go into this space between the thoughts, when you go beyond the belief in that thought, you actually are taking yourself into that space without knowing it. It's an automatic spontaneous process. And when you get there, you are being appropriated by that energy, by that space, so that you're being taken over by it, because the creator that created the universe also creates you, and creates you for the purpose of being able to use you for its creative process. We're all instruments of the creative process of reality in our life here. You're looking at me like, what are you saying?
Oh, I'm following every word you're saying.
You like it?
Yeah, very much.
Okay. You understand that, Maria?
The look on my face has nothing to do with what you're saying.
And if I may comment, I believe that
please
so
do.
Much.
Please
because
do.
I always feel that I'm here, I should have some purpose. And I'm always amazed at people who don't seem, who like to sort of do nothing or not contribute to anything or just kind of consume things, you know, have it all coming in.
Right.
And not putting out anything. And they tend to be people who are not very happy. They're frustrated.
Okay.
At least that's my opinion.
Well, you know what, Maria, I share, everybody thinks, there are no two people who think the same thought. But I think something similar to what you're thinking. Even though I think it's the same as what you're saying, I know better, I know that it's similar. So I'm going to tell you what I think about in regard to that. All of our life, we realize that we were born into this world and that this world was here before we came. There are some people who don't realize that, but they think that it just started with them. But excuse me.
Yeah.
This isn't contagious, by the way. I'm well over the contagious stage.
You want a big glass of water?
Thank you.
You're making me cough.
You want a big glass of water?
Cut it out.
Locus of control.
And so, there, by having the two sides of our mind, one that creates the opinion, the hypothesis, the belief, the other one that creates a higher hypothesis, when we identify with the hypothesis, we think that we're here to take what the world has to offer and to enjoy it and to get as much of it as we can before we die. And when we relate to the other part of our mind, we realize that we're here to make an offering. We're here to contribute, to lend our experience and our love and our genius to the creative process. Mm-hmm. I wanted to say to the creativity, but I kept getting stopped. To the creative process. So that we're here to do both of those things. We're here to enjoy it and to have fun, and we're here also to make an offering and to make a contribution to others around us and to others who are coming after us. And you know this because you have children that you care about and that you have dedicated a lot of your life to. Okay, so are we kind of like on the same page
yes.
here?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thanks for... And by the way, this is our discussion. It isn't mine. So you said, if I may, you know, if I may say this and so on, I welcome you to say whatever you want all of the time. You too, Diane.
I hear you.
Oh, you hear me. Okay.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's
weird. Yeah.
What?
I say that to
I
say to Dominic sometimes, do you know what I mean? Because I know that sometimes what I say hasn't been explained very well. You know, maybe he knows what
well,
I mean.
If we don't understand, we'll ask you.
Okay, good. And Dominic will never say, I know what you mean. He always says, I hear you. And I say, well, that doesn't answer the question. You know, I still don't know whether you know what I mean or not. Okay, so here we go. John, why don't we start with you?
Okay. All right. This dream I had a couple of days ago.
I want to get a pen right here.
It's fairly short.
Now we're going to find out what you really think.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's going to be a surprise, Diane, because
yeah, I know.
We're going to find out that the we don't know what he thinks, and he doesn't either. Okay, so just a second. I'm sorry.
Side of a hill, and the hill has a pasture, and the two sides of the hill are woods, and in between me and the corner of this pasture and woods, there's two cars, and out of the woods comes a big bear. Up in the corner of the woods. And he doesn't see me at first, but then he sees me. And I'm immediately alarmed. And there's somebody around me, and I don't know, I don't see them, and I can't tell if it's a male or a female. And I hear in my mind, get in the car and roll up the window. And so I look up at the bear, and the bear is coming for me. And so I can't reach the freaking door of the car. I'm just struggling, and the bear is getting closer and closer and closer. And finally I get in, and but I'm having trouble rolling up the window. Can't roll up the window. And then I finally get the window rolled up, and I look out the side of the windshield, and there's a person there, a man. And the bear is turned into this man with a bald head looking ominously at me. Like he's going to try to break into the car and kill me like the bear. That's it. I wake up.
Was you crying?
Who, me? No, I'm shitting my pants.
Oh, that's a man thing. Okay.
Okay. Now, in this dream, you see a lot of the characteristics that I already talked about. For example, I said that we have thoughts that come to us. Dominic wakes up, he's asleep, but he all of a sudden realizes that he's dreaming. He's in this dream. Did he create the dream? No. The dream is created for him in his mind. He's watching it. He's watching it. He's seeing himself in the dream. He's seeing this hillside. He's seeing green pastures and forest. He's seeing two cars, and he's seeing out of the woods is coming a bear. Did he create all of that? No, it's created for him. It's all on the stage of his mind, something that somebody that isn't Dominic is making for him. Now, he has opinions about what all of that is. For example, Diane, he thinks that that bear is dangerous and that he needs to get out of there. So now he's thinking, that bear's dangerous, I gotta get out of here, I gotta get to safety. So he's thinking of some moving towards this car, towards safety, and he's noticing that he can't do it. He can't do what he wants to do.
And it's only 3-4 feet away, and I can't reach it.
And the reason that you can't is because there are obstacles in the concept.
Right.
There are obstacles in the concept about that bear, and there are obstacles in the concept about you, and there's obstacles in the concept about the car. And those obstacles are in the way, and you can't see those obstacles. But they are what is preventing you from doing what you want to do. And so the purpose of the dream work is to find the higher hypothesis for the hypothesis here and watch these obstacles disappear. And as these obstacles disappear, then the whole scene will change. And he will see and experience a completely different reality than he told us about here. So am I concerned about a bear getting him? No. Is it only because it's a dream? No, because it isn't really a bear. He even told us that, right? He said that after he got into the car, it changed into this man. Well, how can a bear change into a man? Maybe if you're a little...
Only in a dream.
I tried to make a joke and Maria didn't laugh. I said, how can a bear change into a man? I said, only if you're a little bit like this. And Maria kept it straight.
Well, we do that all the time.
Only if you're a little aberrated.
Yeah.
The one thing that I like about what you guys are doing is that you're not noticing anything new here.
Correct.
Yeah. But I really like that you're not noticing anything new. But the fact is that you will never hear anybody talk like this. So I'm the only one that you ever heard talk like this. But I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. And that's really great because what I have to say is really known to everybody. But there's nobody who knows how to say it. And it hasn't ever been said before. Okay. Did you want to say something?
No.
Okay.
I'll have plenty to say, believe me.
Yeah, I'm ready for that. Okay. So, we can go through a long process of asking Dominic, you know, what's a hill, what's a pasture, what are woods, what's a bear, and so on. And as he answers all of these questions, well, new realities about this dream will start popping up in his mind. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, I already knew when the bear changed to a man, as I was in the dream, I knew something because I had done the dream work.
Yeah.
I knew something was up.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hear you.
I knew that the man wasn't necessarily there to harm me. But I still woke up. My reaction woke me up.
Well, when there's a bear, you can at least close the door and roll up the window.
Yeah.
A man can break into a car a lot easier than
he can finagle it. And so I was afraid at first because he was out of a horror movie too. He was tall and thin and his head was a little bit larger. It was out of proportion to his body and he had a menacing look on his face like I'm going to finish the work of this bear.
Okay. All right. This is verging on a nightmare, notice?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is kind of heading a little bit towards what you call a quality of a nightmare. And the reason that we have nightmares is because we've been hanging on to an opinion a little bit too long. You know, we're carrying an opinion around with us that's a little bit on the worn out side. And I want to tell you this. Reality is a jealous lover. Reality wants to be known. You know how you want to be known and you want to be understood? Reality wants to be known.
No, it doesn't.
You disagree.
I don't disagree for myself.
Yeah.
Because I believe that I'm a very reality-oriented person. But you tell somebody what you see as reality, and they are immediately your enemy.
Oh, I didn't say that. I said reality itself wants to be known. And the person doesn't want to know the reality.
Okay.
Yeah, the person is themselves.
I didn't understand that
part. Pardon me?
I didn't understand that's the part.
Okay.
That
the person okay. doesn't want to know the reality.
Right.
But reality wants to be known.
Right.
You know yourself that we need to know what's going on. We need to know what's real. And when you see somebody who's believing something that's totally unreal, and you know your urge to talk to them about it, is reality's need to be known.
I see. Gets you in an awful lot of trouble.
It isn't only that you want them to know the reality, it's reality itself wants them to know that. And so reality is actually, in that moment, using you to try to communicate with that person in a way that it hasn't been able to get to them through this higher hypothesis intuition in the mind. And so when you're telling other people about reality, what you're doing is you're telling them what their intuition is already telling them. And they have already reacted against their own intuition to such an extent that when you come with it, it reinforces the fact that they're wrong. They're holding on to something way beyond its time, and then they react against you.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden, you're the bringer of bad news, and they want to do the Greek.
They want to live in denial.
And they want to cut your head off.
That's it.
If they could get away with it, they would. That okay. So here we go. I'm on the side of the hill, and it's half pasture and half woods. Can you still see it?
Mm-hmm.
And you see two cars. Where are they?
In front of me.
And where are you in relationship to the pasture and the hill?
Or I'm down the side of the hill, looking up to the hill, and where the pasture ends, there's two corners of the woods. Mm. And in front of me, there's two cars. Although I only see one, there's another one there somewhere.
Okay.
And I'm about 6 feet from the car.
Okay. And how far is it up to that V?
It's about, maybe like to the corner of the woods right there.
Okay. And what part of the woods does the bear come out of?
Right out of the corner. He just appears.
Okay. What color is that bear?
He's brown.
So he's big. A brown bear. How old is it?
You know, I really don't have a good picture of the bear.
Okay, but without having to have a good picture?
Okay, I would say he's an adult bear. He's not an immature bear. He's an adult bear. And then he notices me.
Okay.
It's a male? A male?
Yeah,
you
it's
sure?
hard to tell male grizzlies from female grizzlies, except male
so
grizzlies.
So it's a grizzly bear, specifically.
It's a grizzly bear.
It's a huge bear.
It's a big bear.
It's a big
okay.
bear. I just see his bust, the front of him, you know.
Okay, now...
I'm assuming he's a bear, in my mind. Mm. I don't see him coming toward me, I just know he's coming.
Mm. Now, you're starting to listen here with a little more fine-tuning. A little more fine-tuning. He's telling us a little bit more and a little bit more all the time. I'm getting more information. I hope you are too.
Because as you recount the dream, you remember things that you didn't say the first time. And I was just bringing all the fear into it myself. I really didn't see the bear coming. I just thought, Jesus, this bear is coming. And I have been chased by bears in Alaska.
That's interesting.
Okay. Now, this is fun. For me, this is fun.
This is a good dream. This is fun.
Or me.
I like this dream. Because the bear represents my emotional mind.
Right. The bear is a symbol. We in this work, we call this the waking state. And this is the masculine part of the brain. And it is located in a particular anatomy of the brain called the cerebral cortex and the neomammalian brain. And then there's the feminine mental, emotional, dreaming state of the brain, which is called the paleomammalian brain. And for Dominic, he was born when the sun was in Gemini, so this part of his brain thinks according to the structure of Gemini thinking. This part of his brain thinks according to the structure of Sagittarius, because when he was born in Madison, Wisconsin in 1954, the moon was in Sagittarius, and so we draw the woman inside of him looking inward and trying to fuse two things together. Then the rising sign and the supracausal body. We have four parts to our brain. This is the masculine brain, the feminine brain, the authority brain, where we have our parents and authority figures like police and school teachers, rules and regulations, and then we have the spiritual part of our brain. And these represent also four parts of our mind. So Dominic is seeing the guy in the dream who's looking up the hill is seeing a pasture which represents this part of the mind. At the edge of the forest is there, but the green life and the grass and the green forest itself is actually this part of his mind. So he's got all four parts of his soul present in this dream here. The cars represent this part of the brain.
Would you say again what part that is? That's the masculine?
This is masculine, feminine, authority, and spiritual.
Authority, okay.
Yeah. And authority means parents, rules, policemen, teachers, regulations, okay. Morals, ethics, long-range plans. This part of the brain is the part of the brain that works to help us decide how to change our life for long-term survival. This part of our brain is on day-to-day survival. What do I need to do today to survive? This emotional part is a little bit more ancient, a little bit slower moving, a more wise, and so on. And the deeper we go in our psyche, the more wise and the slower it works, the slower it changes. So he sees a bear coming out of the woods. Well, that represents this part of his mind. A bear is a mammal, and so we know that it is a feminine. And he sees it as having more power than he does because he sees Sagittarius in this part of his mind. So now he thinks that this bear is coming for one reason, and he has an intuition in his mind that is telling him that this bear is something completely different than he sees in his identity type, and that it's coming for a completely different reason than he thinks it's coming for. So I want to get the higher hypothesis of what this bear is. Can you help me out, Dominic?
I'm trying.
So see, what I say is, okay, you see a bear, you feel concerned.
Threatened.
You feel threatened, okay.
I gotta get to safety, I can't get to safety.
Okay, those are all thoughts that are coming, and there are some of them that he's believing. And so he's gonna act on this belief. But now there's a higher hypothesis coming to him in his mind that is telling him something paradoxical about that bear. And the magic of life is that life I'll do it. Life is such that, is it okay to put it on here? That life is such that we don't have to act on what we think. And that life isn't going to do to us what we think it's going to do. When we get into the space between, we can actually control a bear. You know, there are people who play with bears. And there are people who play with bears successfully, and there are people who play with bears unsuccessfully.
Depends if you raise it.
Okay, and now because I have been in this business of watching the human mind for 28 years, and have been watching dreams, and I know how dreams come and why. I know that Dominic is telling me, in him feeling threatened in this dream, that he's got a concept about himself that he's holding on to, that he should have let go of quite some time ago. That this concept is worn out, and that it's keeping him from knowing a particular reality. And I can't go and tell him, you know what, Dominic, you got a corn cob up your butt, or something like that.
What is this corn cob concept?
Was that a dream?
Are you on your way to prison?
Do you have an idea of what this concept is?
Hell no. Hell no, I don't know. I mean...
But threatened by my emotional mind. Because the Sagittarius is expressive, it's more powerful. I'm fearful of it.
Yeah. Now, what's the other thing that this bear could be doing?
Just a curiosity.
What could it be doing that is paradoxical to what you're thinking?
Nothing. Looking for blueberries, not for him.
It could be offering me something.
Okay. Now, see, he thought that it was threatening him because it wanted to take his life. Right?
Which
it wanted to hurt him.
Usually
so now I say, well, what could it be doing which is paradoxical to that?
Yeah. Protecting a cub.
And he said, what did you say?
Offering me something.
It could be coming to offer me something. Now just imagine. Now this is really magical, because now what I do is I ask Dominic, how do you feel when you think this bear could be offering me something?
I feel the movement in my body.
Like what? What do you mean?
Well, I feel goosebumps.
Hmm. Okay. Oh. Yeah. Okay. Now, see, what's happened is Dominic was holding on to a concept. That concept was stopping up the energy channels in his body. And as when he looks at this bear and thinks about, oh, this bear could be offering me something, what that's doing is all of a sudden unlocking the energy channels and allowing the energy to start to flow in his body. And that energy is a creative energy of reality. It's the energy that creates this universe. It's the energy that creates our life. It's the energy that brings all good things to life. It's the fire of love. That's what it is. Yeah, like it? It's getting warmer, isn't it? Yeah.
And it's just, you hear my dream.
It's subtle, and it's like a little itch, but it's very powerful.
Yeah, but now look at the bear and tell me what you see now.
Well, I'm seeing the man now.
Okay, so
and
now
the man's growing some hair. Like his bald head is no longer bald. He's like turning into a wizard of some kind.
Okay, now you see what I'm talking about? That we're looking through our five senses and our thinking mechanism is generating thoughts, and we look into these thoughts and we think those thoughts represent reality. And you know that you've got friends who do that, and you know that they don't see the reality in those thoughts. And we just saw Dominic change his mind about something. He saw something coming out of the woods. He saw a bear. And now all of a sudden, by opening up to this other higher hypothesis of thinking in his mind, this bear is changing into a wizard. Now, what's more preferable, a bear or a wizard?
Yeah, the bear changed to a menacing person, and then
in the dream.
Yeah, in the dream, and it's not visual to me, but it's a thought that came to me. You know what I mean?
What thought came to
me? And I'm usually more visual than the thought came that the person is growing hair, and that he's and then he's got something for me.
Yes. Okay.
I don't know what it is.
Okay. I knew this when he first started saying it, because this happens all the time in dreams. And whenever we see something coming that's a menace, we always have to ask ourselves, what's the benefit that's trying to come? We see something that's coming toward us that we perceive as a menace, and we always have to ask ourselves, what benefit am I going to get out of receiving what I think is coming here? And now Dominic, see, is to the point where he realizes that this guy is a wizard and that he possibly has something for him. This is classical. This happens all the time. So, what do you need? If you look at your life, Dominic, during the last week...
I know what I need. It's already come to me.
Okay. Now, what do you need? What do you need that you don't want?
That I don't want.
What do you need that you do not want to receive?
You mean the opposite of what I... The opposite of what I want?
No.
What is it that I need that I don't want?
What is it that you need that you have been rejecting?
Oh.
What is it that you need that has been trying to come to you that you have been rejecting?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I know.
And you don't want us to know?
No, it hasn't formulated into words for me.
Which is okay. I want you to know that if you have things that you want to be aware of but that you don't want to say, it doesn't need to be said. If you got, you know, kind of private things.
What is it that I don't need is indecisiveness.
Okay, but he's not bringing indecisiveness to
you. No, he's bringing me the confidence of a bear.
Okay.
It is. That's what it is. The power of a bear.
Okay, so now you are saying that you have been going through a process in the past, in the recent time.
Yes.
Say we.
Yes.
Where the problem of decision has been a problem for you.
Oh, yeah.
You have wanted to make a decision, but you haven't known how to make it.
Right.
See, this is what I'm talking about again.
It relates to my life directly.
Mm. You want to do something, but you don't really know how to go about doing it. And the reason that you don't know how to go about doing it is because it's being offered, this thing is being offered to you through the higher hypothesis.
Which is a form of a man. For a man, a man in my dream who's not an authority figure is my intuition.
Right. Exactly. Okay, so now, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling really good.
You're feeling better.
I'm feeling like I got bear power.
I do.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
it is.
Okay, now see, I haven't interpreted this dream. Did you notice that? I haven't offered any interpretation. I haven't said a bear means this and a car means that and a woods mean that. I've just been asking him questions about what's going on. Because all of this dream came to him to communicate something that the Creator itself wants to communicate to him. The Creator itself is working with all of us through processes of change all of the time. Because we have to constantly change. The earth is always moving, the sun is always moving, everything around us is changing all of the time. And Dominic is in the middle of huge changes, and he doesn't know how to make those changes. And what he's telling us is that there has been indecisiveness and also lack of confidence. When we're trying to do something which is intuitive, which is a higher hypothesis, we don't have the confidence that we're going to be able to do it. And so we stumble around and so on. And what I want to do right now is to get Dominic into the space in between decisiveness and indecisiveness. It isn't about being decisive and it's not about being indecisive.
He's a Gemini. How can he help being indecisive?
Yeah. I'm going to get him to let go of Gemini here for a moment.
Oh, good.
Yeah, where he just won't be identified with that at all.
I already am.
If even only for a split second.
I'm not identifying with it.
You're not?
No.
Okay. So do you want to write anything down? Do you want to get your book and
yeah.
Write something down? To yourself? That was fairly painless, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was too easy.
Tim is usually much more hard-headed about the whole process.
Tim? Not you, Ram Dass. Take some more.
Yeah, I won't comment on
that. Right, Ram's putting you on.
And also, I'd like to just make a couple of comments.
Yeah.
When I first started doing dream work, too, Ren would ask these questions, and, you know, I thought to myself, Jesus, you know, I'm just making this stuff up. And then the more I did it, I would notice little changes in my body. And and then I learned not to discount them. So these little itches that I have, you know, when you focus your attention on them, my body's ahead of my mind. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So my body's telling me something's happening before my mind gets dragged along second. And right now I have so much energy going through my stomach and up into my chest from this whole process that just sounds kind of like something that's weird, you know?
You know, what does that mean, something that's weird?
Well, it's something that, like, I could just be making this stuff up, you know, as you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But when I pay attention to my body, it's real in my body. And then my mind follows along. And all this creativity starts coming to bear in my head.
To bear?
To bear, it does, yeah. It really does. So this is the magic of it.
Hey, Dominic, would you be willing to share before you're right there just
yeah.
how that transition took place from fear of the bear to...
Well, it was a question that he asked about the bear. And I started thinking, I've always been afraid of bears and in awe of them too. But I remembered in my dream, I didn't notice the bear coming toward me. I just assumed that it was out to get me. And through this assumption, all this fear came in. I couldn't get to the door. So when he asked his question, to look at the bear, you know, I thought the bear has got something to offer me. And then my body started, yeah, you know.
The bear is not a menace. And
the Mohicans loved it when they saw a bear come.
Yeah.
Because they knew that was bear medicine.
And they would, and the bear too, if they would kill a bear, they wouldn't touch the hide for a month because they believe the hide has so much power in it. The hairs of a bear.
And when they killed the bear, they killed it with a lot of love and respect.
They would skin it, but they would leave the hide. They wouldn't touch the hide for a month or more.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of the American tribes. Maybe not all.
So go ahead, Don, and write down what you need.
Well, wait a minute. So everything kind of just shifted once you were willing to entertain the possibility that the bear had something to offer to you rather than take from you?
Yes.
And then you saw the guy, and
yeah,
and he started to change.
And now it didn't occur to me until now, doing the dream work, that the bear wasn't a menace.
Right.
It was just until now, and I knew in the dream too when the man appeared. I've done enough of the dream work to know that was my intuition. But what is he trying to show me? Can't be something about a bear. I'm trying to think, what else?
Yeah.
What else?
And then that just jumped up.
But it's about the bear, is what it is.
Yeah.
You know.
So go ahead and write down.
My emotional mind.
Because as you write, new things will come up, and then when you're done, you can share with us about the transformation that has happened.
Excuse me. And I just saw a bear out here a couple of weeks ago.
Before you had the dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it too. It was running into the woods. A little black bear.
Yeah, he was a yearling.
Yeah, what?
He wasn't a cub. He was bigger than a cub. And I think his mother was around.
Sun shining on this from the outside, and a bear coming up those stairs, and because of the reflection of the light off of the screen and so on, the bear can't see through. This happened to me last year.
Here?
Not at this house, another house, but it was kind of an identical situation.
Uh-huh.
And the bear came up onto the porch, and its nose was right there, and I was about this far away.
Bear couldn't see you.
Couldn't see me because of the reflection of the sun. The
it
sun
could
was
smell
shining.
You.
Pardon me?
It could smell you.
It could?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
It could smell I was cooking.
That's what it smelled.
It could smell food cooking.
Mm.
And it was about a 600 pounder. It was a good size one. Mm-hmm. And it was rubbing its nose up against the screen, and it was just ready to
come in and have dinner.
Yeah, and so I just went like this, and I walked right over to it.
And
I took a hold of the glass door,
slammed
and
open.
I said, "Ah!" And it's then
it
went ass over tea kettle. It tipped over backwards and hit up against the railing there, and turned and ran down the stairs, and it got up. Just like, say it got about 15 or 20 steps out in the thing, loping, running, and then all of a sudden it stopped and like
what
as if it was saying to itself, what
the
hell am
that?
I running
I didn't
for?
See that. I'm a bear!
And then it just walked away.
Right.
Hey! I realized it was all right.
I'm a bear.
Not a good place for dinner. Not welcome there.
No. But I think this one was smelling the chickens. But all of a sudden, he just did an about face, like his mother was saying, "Don't go up there."
Yeah. That guy's.
How?
Chicken
why are you so sure that your bear is a male?
Huh?
That was my question.
He morphed.
Even if it was a female, it still represents the emotional part of my mind because it's a mammal.
Yeah.
Because female bears are more
You know, they're more protective, and they'll drive off a male bear if they have cubs.
Pink clothes, yeah, I get it.
Why is it that you're interested in that question?
Because a female bear is different from a male bear.
Right.
A male bear would be more aggressive. A female, a female